Such sights to show you.
You doing, Phil?
Well, here's the thing.
Speaking of the year and how the fact that we're almost into May, we have some horror movies we got to talk about, guys.
Oh, yes. Can't wait to talk about the great horror instant classic Civil War, dude.
There's a lot to get into, but without any further ado, let's just dive right into it. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Hey, hey.
And Phil Acevedo.
What's up?
Hello, guys. Thank you for holding the fort down while I was dying of a sinus infection.
Well, you took her from Solo Sokoa. It's fine. You know, you get it.
You did.
You helped Cody finish his story, dude.
I was laughing my ass off listening to that. I was just like, cool. I'm glad you guys were.
She's back, dude. Tribal chief is back.
That's right. Our tribal chief. That's. Yeah, oh, my God. Every time Wester goes in, she plays the fucking music from Roman.
Oh, my gosh. Gonna pull up to the Ren Fair on Saturday. Blasting the theme song, dude. Oh, that's funny. Mm-hmm. So everyone's life is super hectic right now and super crazy. So we were gonna do an episode that Anthony alluded to at the end of last week's episode, but he's a busy boy. So.
So thanks for the pivot, everybody. That episode will come out next week.
Yes.
And I'll just tell you guys right now, it's Halloween Kills, our annual biannual tradition, and we went to the premiere for that one, and it happened during COVID.
And so that's a lot. Yeah,
that's a lot to write. Yeah. So
wait.
Yeah, can't wait to relive that one, huh, Phil?
Oh, man.
Oh, good times.
So in the meantime, we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been watching lately, our thoughts on some recent film releases that we're excited about, and also taking a quick little look in what is coming out throughout the rest of the summer. And there are some fucking heavy hitters coming out during like the next couple months. So let's dive right into it. So we're going to talk about the few releases from the last 2 months. Godzilla, Kong, The New Empire, The First Omen, Abigail, Immaculate, Civil War, Monkey Man, Stop Motion, Late Night with the Devil, and Arcadian. And most of those, if not all of them, have come out in like the last like month. I think Stop Motion came out in February, but other than that.
Yeah, what the hell? This is way more horror adjacent films than I thought there was already to this point, actually.
Yeah. It's been a really cool year so far for horror, and I'm really excited to see what else is coming up soon, for sure.
Man, do I miss movies. Okay.
Yeah, dude, sorry. You need to go to the movies more.
Yeah, I get the shit from Phil every... I say 3 times a week, at least.
Good.
Phil, we're talking about 2024 movies. Guys, you have still yet to watch 2021 movies. 2022 movies.
Well, Phil, what? I can't be everywhere, everything all at once, all right?
Hey, listen, all I can do at this point is jump in and try to stay up to date as much as I can.
I keep forgetting you guys still haven't seen Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's crazy. I keep forgetting that.
I think you're blocking it out at this point.
It's right there with Lost Highway, okay? It's right in the same fucking room.
Why would you bring it up? Why would you bring it up?
There it
is. Relax, fit episode, baby. Mm-hmm. All right.
Welcome back, Webster.
Thanks. out of these movies, I've seen Civil War, Monkey Man, Stop Motion, and Late Night with the Devil. I have been going to the movies lately, so.
All right. Oh, shit. What have you seen from this, Phil?
All right, these last 2 months have actually been a little slow for me, but out of...
No, how the turntables.
No, hang on. Shit talker, dude. Hold on. I got some shit to talk about here, because you're talking about the movies that came out in the last 2 months. Out of the list that you mentioned, I do not see Dune Part 2 anywhere in this list.
I looked up, like, horror movies, not fucking...
Civil War was, oh my god, incredibly scary. I can't believe it turned into Wreck in Civil War. And Godzilla vs. Kong. Oh, that was
hey, terrible. It has monsters, and who are the real monsters in Civil War, huh? Come on.
Okay, in Dune 2, we have fucking sandworms, dude, who eat people. Isn't that kaiju?
We should have a section for Phil for Dune 2. That we need a little bit of Dune 2.
Although I've only seen just a couple. Thank you, Webster. I see it. Electric Boogaloo. I love it. Dune 2, Electric Boogaloo. Thank you, Webster.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm only talking about Dune 2 because this is one of the reasons why I've gone to the movie so much in the last 2 months. I've seen this thing 4 times.
I was going to say, you've seen it a million times. Yeah. I will say, like, Dune 2 was the catalyst for me, like, trying to go to the movies more. I also have just been so sick for the last 2 weeks that it was high on the list, and then all of a sudden Civil War came out, Monkey Man came out, Late Night with the Devil came out, and I was just like, okay, I have to put in at least some effort to see new movies. I will say, because I'm getting the essence of Phil's opinion, Civil War made me cry because I was freaked out twice.
Interesting.
Civil War scared the shit out of me. Now, also, I do want to add this with a precursor that there's a reason I don't watch war movies, because they like rattle me really bad and they make me really anxious. And for some reason, that didn't occur to me when I went into Civil War that it was going to be like a war movie. And so I was sitting there, and like the
you
first.
You didn't think Civil War was going to be a war movie?
I don't know what I expected.
Captain America versus Iron Man again, huh?
No. I knew what it was, and I was really interested in like the advertising that A24 was doing for it, and I was like, okay, this seems like an interesting concept. I would like to go see it, and for some reason I just wasn't expecting. Expecting that, and so
it was more grounded than I thought it would be.
Yeah, sure. It rattled me in a way that I wasn't expecting, to the point that I did have to pop an anti-anxiety at one point, because I was like, I think I might have to leave.
Oh, damn.
My poor heart. Back to the ER.
Yeah. The beginning more so, like, just be like that, like, I don't know, are we spoiling this? What can we talk?
I don't know. All right, so I guess Civil War is the main movie that we're talking about from this list, right?
I just want to just touch on it, but because I also wanted to talk about what's coming up that we're excited for.
Yeah.
I did want to talk about it because...
Absolutely.
Once I saw it, I immediately texted Fun. I was just like, I fucking loved it. Like, I really, really enjoyed it.
And I gave her the biggest, like, maybe watch it in
No,
theaters.
You didn't respond.
Oh, fuck. That was... A little later, huh?
No, yeah, you never responded.
Oh my, I responded in my head, goddammit.
Bitch.
God, I'm such an asshole.
I thought this was okay. I liked it. I thought it was cool. It was totally cool. Action was cool. Alex Garland continues to just impress me a lot, except for Men, his last movie. I didn't really like Men.
Yeah, I really was interested in seeing it, but then I saw, like, it seemed a little too cerebral for me. Like, it seemed very...
Well, you should check it out. I don't know. Form your opinion.
I mean, you know, I don't want to, like, totally judge, but also just, like, based on what I had seen, it just didn't seem like my vibe. But I do enjoy Alex Garland stuff. I think
it's more of
a
horror film than Civil War, I'll tell you that much.
Hey, listen,
I haven't seen Men. I don't know shit about Men, actually.
As much as I did not like this movie, it has more of a right to be in this list of a horror film than Civil War.
I put Civil War on the list because I think that the grounded elements were like I don't think it has traditional horror elements in it necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good genre film. I wouldn't necessarily go so far as to categorize it as a horror film.
Yeah, to me, it barely makes the cusp. Based on it, could be actually incredibly terrifying.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, but to me, unfortunately, I feel like I don't know. It was an attempt at making something very profound, but it was too like neutral and like stand backish.
Interesting. Yeah. You found it impact. Neutral.
Yeah, I think the core message was like journalist good, war bad. It just seemed that seemed to be the only message I got from it, which was kind of simple.
Yeah,
like, a little too simple for me.
I don't think that was necessarily the message that I got from it, but I can appreciate that take. For me, I definitely got a lot more like anti-fascism notes.
I mean, that too. There's definitely an element of anti-fascism. Yeah,
I do think, and this is at the very, very end. It's not necessarily spoiling anything for Civil War. I think it's a very thought-provoking film, and I think it's a big conversation creator film. Like, I think like, obviously, because I want to talk about it so much, and, like, I think it's very divisive in terms of, like, people's opinions.
But so the cinema score is really divisive.
Actually. Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah,
the Letterboxd, it's actually very too. Divided. The Letterboxd was, too. The, you know, Phil's favorite website, letterboxd.com.
That's right.
But I will say at the end of the film, where you see a photo that's slowly being, like, developed, and you see it come into focus. Do you guys know what I'm talking about or remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah.
It gave me, I think it was very interesting that, like, they were the, like, quote-unquote good guys of the situation, and they made a photo, or they took a photo that is very reminiscent of Abu Ghraib.
Uh-huh. Oh, right.
And so that was something that I that was very thought-provoking to me.
I was thinking Escobar.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I had the Escobar vibes.
Interesting. Yeah, so that's kind of my take. Someone that I go to the gym with also, like, we were talking about it because she had posted about it on Instagram, and I was like, I need to talk about this with someone. she asked if I thought the thing at the end that happened to a character...
Yes.
If it was caused intentionally by the photographer.
Interesting take.
I don't think so.
I was mixed
on
it.
Have you watched any interviews with Alex Garland about this movie?
No, I haven't. I tried to kind of go in.
I think I watched it after because I was kind of curious too. At first, when I walked into this movie, I was thinking this was going to be a right winger's wet dream, and it turns out I didn't. It wasn't. It was very apolitical. It was very apolitical. Like there was no like you got mentioned earlier. There's no sides. It's not really. I don't think there's anything in this movie where either Fox News or CNN could be like, oh, did you see what they did in this movie? Like, it would have been really easy for, it would have been really easy for, oh my God, the actor that played the president. Oh my God. Ron Swanson.
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman. it would have been really easy if he did like a Trump impression, but he wasn't. He was very just... a stern dude. We didn't know what kind of a president he was.
I think, you know, really, the fact that
California and Texas formed an alliance. Come on, yeah. They're trolling us. They're trolling us with this.
I think
that's the money alliance right there. Yeah, you got all the money.
Like, yeah, I'm like, bro, there's no way. Like, there's
yeah. I saw.
And I'm like, that's why I was thinking. I was like, this thing is apolitical.
Okay,
like,
for sure. So for me, there's certain lines that gave me the impression that it wasn't, and it was like California and Texas. Okay. First of all, I saw an interview that talked about, like, people giving the movie shit. Like, only a British person would ever think that Texas and California would ever form an alliance.
Yeah.
And the person who was reviewing it was like, when you watch the movie, it makes sense. And that I don't necessarily agree with. I still had a hard time kind of placing why California and Texas would make sense to make an alliance. The only thing I can think of is that... California being like the traditional liberal state, and Texas like with their like don't tread on me kind of attitude, like they kind of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of situation, and that's how the alliance came about. That's kind of how I chose to interpret it. But also with the president, I got a lot more like fascist vibes in the sense that like the White House is viewing all press as hostile and is shooting press members on site.
That was one thing.
The other thing was there was kind of a throwaway line, but Kirsten Dunst's character mentioned like the Antifa massacre, blah 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 blah, and I was like, okay, so that gives me the impression that this president kind of has more fascist tendencies, especially also considering that he was in his third term as president.
Oh, okay. The Antifa massacre throwaway line, I actually forgot about. That kind of gives him more credence there.
Yeah. I don't think that's enough.
Hey,
I think it's just a breadcrumb, you know?
Right.
Like, even Alex Garland said it himself. You can look it up. I saw this on, like, there's interviews. He's like, I wanted to focus mostly on just photojournalism. That's why you don't find origins of this civil war and stuff like that. He was just like, I'm just focusing on a modern warfare in America where journalists are looking at a certain way these days. And, and I just wanted to focus it primarily on that because his parents were, his father was a journalist and stuff like that. And he was saying all these other things. And then, I mean, I'm sure the things you listed, I'm pretty sure there was, this probably the president was probably a Republican. I still got this thing was still very civil, like very in the middle. It was first I was like, this is either going to be super right or this is going to be super left. And then even the Jeremy Johns review, he was like, okay, man, so what do you guys want to know? Is this super right or is this super left? He's like, well, it's neither. And then I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I thought too. And I was like, like I said, I thought this is going to be a super like right wingers wet dream. Turned out to be just
photojournalism.
It's just a war going on in America. We don't know exactly why, what caused it. We can probably think of if we could probably use our own imaginations, and
I think a lot of it was up for interpretation.
Mm-hmm. True, the ambiguity. You're making the.
And I think that's what a lot of people are upset about it. And I think that's what people got upset about it. Because they're I don't want to be lift up to my imagination. I want to know what happened.
So freaking disingenuous. There were so many people on the internet who were like fake. I don't want to say fake up in arms. But like very performatively upset at this movie for like, America doesn't need this right now. Like basically thinking that this movie was going to kickstart.
Irresponsible.
Fake up in arms is actually very accurate.
Like it was going to kickstart an actual civil war. And
outrage bait.
Yeah.
Outrage
bait. It was very like a lot of people were commenting this on this like TikToker who reviews horror movies, and I was reading them and I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Dude. Like,
but it gets attention. Do you ever see those comments that is just inflammatory and they don't respond for like 10 replies and they're just respond to one of the weakest comments with like a just a bait again.
It's just
the world we live in.
It's just trolling.
It's no secret that this country is super divided these days, so that fine, but okay, when 9/11 happened, how many 9/11 movies did we get right after that? You know what I'm saying?
Actually, 9/11 movies, we didn't get any right away. It took like five years or so.
Yeah, the Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it's just like, we can talk about a lot of things, but we're not going to talk about this.
Yeah. Until everybody got past like we recruited enough of them. Go ahead, do a movie now.
We were able to bump up our military numbers enough. We can talk about it now.
Okay, now you guys can talk shit. They are locked in for a couple of terms here already, and we've only missing a few of them from the Iraq thing, so it's fine.
God damn it. I truly wanted to just touch on Civil War, but any other thoughts before we move on?
Oh, Jesse Plemons is the biggest monster in cinema right now.
Yeah. Truly.
He was not a lefty at all. Not. He was Florida then. Okay, Cuban.
Oh my God. He scared the shit out of me in that movie. In this movie. He
steals the scene in everything he's in, that dude.
Seriously. Yeah. Wait, Phil, real quick. How was he in the Scorsese movie?
Oh, he's good. He was just not as like, He didn't leave a huge impact like he did in Civil War, of course.
Okay, because, yeah, he really used his screen time in Civil War.
In my viewing for Civil War, everyone's all like, oh, shit, it's Jesse Plemons. Everyone shut the fuck up. We know what's happening. Yes, we saw it in the trailer, you know? Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, oh, we saw this in the trailer. Oh, here it comes, yeah. So,
Yeah. I thought he was going to have, like, maybe a little bit of a larger role, because he's not in the movie for very long, but... Someone, I saw this thing on Instagram that was like, in my showing of Civil War when Jesse Plemons came on screen, someone in the theater was like, all right, here we go. Which is exactly the vibe. I love Jesse Plemons. He's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, I really agree. He is fucking amazing. Yeah. And yeah, he's, again, scene stealer, just like Phil said. Yeah. Like, as soon as it came on, and the movie led up to it very well. Mm-hmm. Like, it actually built to a scene fantastically.
I will say this is also, like, a very, like, interesting, from a cinematic perspective, like, cinematography was very interesting to me. The acting was also really good.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it ended in, like, a rushed, kind of, like, non-thematically consistent way.
I really hated that ending.
Interesting.
It's thematically not consistent with the rest of the film, to be unfortunate.
That's why, like, I thought everything was cool about this movie. It is. It's a cool movie about these photojournalists stuck in the war and shit like that. The effects were cool. The action was insane. It was cool. It was kind of like, this is big. This is like A24's big spectacle, and it really shows. And what better director to go with than Alex Garland, because he's got a history of, like, just look at his previous films. He can build suspense really well. True. Give him the war genre, and he's going to utilize that. He's going to use his suspenseful as a tool very well implemented in a war genre. So it's like, it worked really well. It's just a cool movie. It's heavily flawed, for sure, but I had a good time with it. The next day, like, Ruben and Adrian and Fuen, they're like, hey, we're going to see it tomorrow if you want to see it again. I was like, I'm good. I'm good. I'm all right. You guys watch it. I'll meet up with you guys after.
Like, no fucking worms, any of that shit going on.
Yeah, it has nowhere near the same level of rewatchability as Dune 2, of course. But, like, it's like, it was cool. It's a cool movie. It's a fun time. It's not forgettable because, you know, it's still very fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
I just was not trying to watch it in, like, 24 hours later.
For sure. I think I would have responded the same way. Even in the, like, it's just, like, it's intense. Like, it was kind of, like, I left the theater feeling kind of emotionally drained. Just because, I don't know, graphic violence like that. Like, that isn't in, like, a horror context.
It was brutal. You're right.
Yeah. Like I said, war movies always make me anxious and have always stressed me out. That's why I don't watch them. Again, I don't know what I expected. It's very much like a dead dove don't eat situation.
I would say, though, the one thing that did annoy me in this movie, like, more than anything else, were, like, the needle drop fucking soundtrack that we got for this shit. It did make no sense. I'm like, dude, I get being, like, contrary to what's happening on screen, but you were one Mickey, you so fine away from, like, just still, like, that's where they're going with this one. Just guts everywhere and Bring It On soundtrack. That's great.
Yeah. Also starring Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
Right? You're also, exactly.
Like, all of us missing was some, like, CCR and, like...
Oh, my gosh.
See, CCRs would have fit a little more than in the Civil War, but, like Fuen said, throw on, like, something completely a 180, throw on some fucking Taylor Swift, and, yeah, dude, like, it would have just been kept on going.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah,
it was a borderline on that. Okay, good Civil War discussion, though, huh?
Let's keep it moving. Have either of you seen Monkey Man Stop Motion or Late Night with the Devil?
Negative.
And Webster, guide us through it. We have not seen these movies.
Okay, Monkey Man, fucking incredible. I think it's, like, it's pretty much Indian John Wick with an incredibly important message about the Indian caste system.
That's what that movie is.
Which is... what's the message?
The caste system's fucking horrible.
Just, like, there was a lot of, like, displacement of the indigenous people in certain communities in India. Basically, the caste system, to be super, super, like, in layman's terms, just the belief that people from certain areas or in certain economic brackets are better than... in, like, to the extreme. Like, here in America, we get it. Like, we get that to an extent. But in India, it's, like, complete social ostracization, and among other things, like that's
down to your last name,
like,
and stuff.
And on top of like just like basically displacement and poverty, and there's just a lot that goes into it. I really enjoyed it. It was crazy. I think the amount of action scenes or lack thereof might be surprising to some people. I think for Dev Patel, who he wrote, produced, directed, and starred in this, did an incredible job.
Yeah, I forgot it was a Dev Patel movie, actually. Yeah. I was kind of interested to see like how it would be received by people.
Yeah. It's still on my radar, for sure. I am trying to watch this like ASAP because I've just been really busy with other movies.
When you do, let me know. I think that there was some... some choices with the camera that were interesting, but I
heard there's a lot of shaky cam in this.
That's what I was
getting
at. To the
point where it's ridiculous.
I would say it's ridiculous. I think also maybe just because I'm so used to found footage, like it didn't even occur to me that there was a lot of shaky cam until maybe one point where I was just like, how long has this been going on? But I did enjoy it. I had a really good time. I had a fun little double feature in the movie theater. I went from Civil War to Monkey Man.
like that's the classic right there. Like, I'm just going to walk right over here.
Yeah. I mean, I bought a ticket after the fact because I wanted to give the movie money, but I definitely did movie hop. In the moment, I was like, I'm just going to walk over here.
AMC passed my ball.
And there's the movie theater down the street from my apartment, too. So it was nice.
Wait, I do want to know, Webster.
Yes.
How was Late Night with the Devil? Because people cannot stop talking to me about this movie. Like a lot. But they're like so not spoiling it. They're like, bro, just fucking. Like, I'm getting that a lot.
As you guys know, if my name isn't Alex, a slut for found footage Webster. This movie is so interesting in the format. It is so interesting in the, like, just from like the concept. David Dastmalchian fucking kills it. He does a great job in this movie. Basically, the whole premise is that it is quote-unquote recovered footage from a 1970s late night TV show broadcast. And they kind of find a nice way to explain how there's cameras or how we get like in between stuff during like commercial breaks. Mm-hmm. I will say it is not without its share of... controversy right now, because some of the artists admitted to using AI for some of the like bumper screens, like, you know, for commercials when you're coming back from commercial and it's like, or like, we'll be right back. Some of them were like done with AI, and I know that's kind of rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I wish that they hadn't done it, because a lot of people are not seeing the movie on that principle, or on the principle of that, just from them using AI.
I'm not watching it.
What?
That's one of the reasons why I'm not watching it.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be brutally honest.
No, I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. I think if you have the chance to watch it, and if you don't feel comfortable giving the movie money, but you still want to watch it, just so you can kind of get an opinion on it. It is on Shudder.
Oh, okay.
It is a Shudder.
I already give Shudder money right now anyways. That's good.
It is a Shudder original. So if you, I would recommend checking it out if it doesn't, you know, cause too much of a moral quandary for you. But I did really enjoy it.
That's okay. Cool.
So,
that's
cool.
Now that's on Shudder. I didn't
know
that.
Stop motion. You can also go see without feeling like there's AI involved, because there isn't. And it's fucking creepy. Stop motion I really, really liked also. It was very weird.
Okay, stop. Is that on Shudder too, please? Or no?
No.
Probably not. Oh,
boo. So I would recommend stop motion as well. Yeah, a lot of really good horror so far this year.
I know. What the fuck? I've been missing out, goddammit.
So moving right along, let's talk about some of the anticipated movies through the rest of the summer and like what you guys are most excited for. We got Cuckoo, Maxine, Alien, yes. Romulus.
Oh, you're let me fix that for you right there real quick. Little typo. There we go.
What? Hold on.
Maxine is spelled with three X's.
Oh, whoops. I missed that. I thought there were three. Nope. Thank you.
Who the fuck is Maxine?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, by the way, that's one of my most anticipated films of the year for sure.
Yeah. Maxine.
Have you guys seen the previous two films?
Yes. I loved them.
Yep.
Oh, it's the from okay.
X and Pearl.
It's X and Pearl and it's
well, the now I'm trilogy. Really okay.
You didn't know that one?
No.
Where have you been? What's going on with you?
Have you seen the movies? Oh, it's fun.
I've seen X. I haven't seen Pearl yet.
You haven't seen Pearl?
I haven't seen Pearl. Oh,
Jesus Christ, dude.
I like X.
Have you seen the trailer for Maxine?
I have.
It looks fantastic.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Let's see. And then also Alien Romulus Long Legs, which the trailer is so fucking creepy. It's directed by Osgood. Hold on. Long Legs. I can spell.
It's directed by Oz Perkins.
Oz Perkins. AKA frickin' Anthony Perkins' son.
That's Anthony Perkins' son?
Yeah, he's directed a bunch of really cool movies.
Bro, okay.
He directed The Black Coat's Daughter, which came out in 2015, which was really, really interesting and super weird. I think he also did... what is it called? I don't remember. But yeah, it's very, very cool.
All right, fucking A. Way to go. Okay, cool. I'm more interested in that one too now, too.
All right. There you go. But yeah, if you're someone who watches trailers, the trailer for it is very creepy.
Cool. Interesting. I'll have to check that out.
So, Long Legs, The Watchers, not to be confused with The Strangers, Chapter 1. The Watchers is M. Night Shyamalan's daughter, I want to say. Yeah. So she's directing it, which is, I'm interested in. The Strangers, Chapter 1, which... what are your guys' thoughts on this? Have you guys seen any of the stuff coming out about it?
I've not heard. I know there is a new Strangers coming out. I just don't know anything about it.
How do you guys feel about it? Because this is a reboot, I think. It's not a requel. I could be mistaken on that, though.
I don't know. It's not quite... capturing my attention, sure. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, it takes a lot to capture your attention right now, to be fair.
Very, very true. But to me, like, I think a retread doesn't feel like something I'd want to invest too much in. I think the first one itself really does kind of stand on its own.
Sure.
So it's hard for me to see what you could do different that would make me want to keep, to invest a little further. Like, even the sequel, Strangers, right? Like, didn't quite do it for me.
Yeah, the sequels were weird. I don't even remember too much about them, but okay, yeah, I'm interested. The trailers that I've seen, it looks interesting. I don't know. I'm willing to give it a chance, which may or may not be to my own detriment.
See, but that's kind of how I feel about the first Omen, right? I'm bullshitting now because I totally would actually rather watch that one, even if it's out.
So I will say, and I think I might have said so on the show, I was super anti the first Omen. Like, I didn't want to watch it. I was like, I've seen what's been going on, like, between Exorcist Believer and just like rebooting classic franchises has been deeply upsetting to me, mainly because of David Gordon Green.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
So I was very hesitant. However, the reviews of people who I deeply trust in the horror community with similar views that I had prior to it said to give it a chance. I'm going to give it a chance. I've gone from... born hater to cautiously optimistic. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right.
So that is out now, which I do want to see soon.
Has anybody seen Immaculate?
No. That I did hear was a bit of a snooze fest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, but again, you know, who am I to say?
I haven't heard a single thing about it.
I only know these movies from the Dune 2 trailers.
Pretty much.
That's you know really what? Fucking funny.
You know what? We're talking about these non-horror movies. I see Boy Kills World. We just talked about Monkey Man. These are certified instant horror classics. But have you guys heard of Dune 2? If there's anything horror-related about Dune 2, is the fact that genocide is a scary thing. Also, blind belief in a messiah to a point where it's cult-like, that's some scary shit, guys. Dune very 2, true. Electric Boogaloo.
Very, very true, I will say. I mean, I have to actually watch Dune 1 to
Lisan El Gaib. Oh my goodness. And then, dude, Lisan El Gaib has a full-on Tetsuo from Akira scene that I'm not even going to say anything, but he even looks like fucking Tetsuo, man. It's okay, insane.
So Phil, when you said that, what were you doing last time you said that? Was it on the last episode of the Paranormal Activity? You dropped this to me, this news that there was an Akira-like scene.
Oh, yeah, you guys talked about Akira.
It literally made me want to watch, like, dude, to actually sit down and watch these fucking movies.
You'll know exactly what scene it is, too.
Yeah, he suddenly, he does the Akira motorcycle slide on the huge worm. It's crazy.
His name is Shai Halud, all right? No. But yeah, no, yeah, he totally does the Akira motorcycle.
Hold on. Hold the fuck on. Dune has been, like, the sci-fi dork's wet dream for years. And suddenly these movies come out and everyone's a fucking expert.
Well, I mean, these books have been out for, like, what, 60 years? Yeah.
That's how it works.
And then then the first movie was directed by my boy David Lynch.
Like Lord of the Rings, you know? The whole generation didn't really figure it out until it was like, you know, now I'm going to go back.
Very.
I'm
going to go back.
Yeah. Is, you know
you
what?
Guys
is,
weren't ready for that, but your kids are going to love it.
That's funny. I've been out. Savannah has been filling me in on the Dune 2 buzz that's happening on social media.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the buzz that's happening on social media. Some people send me memes, and it's funny as fuck. But I don't know what they're saying. Apparently, it's well received amongst the people, right?
Oh, there's been lots of memes.
That's what I mean when I say now suddenly everyone's a fucking expert on freaking the Dune books.
Because I know movie critics are loving it too, and I love it. All that matters is that I fucking love it.
Right. That matters.
Yeah. But then, like, I just don't know what other... I mean, all I know is from, like, our friends. Like, our friends have seen it. They love it, too. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not alone in this. And then I just don't know what the social media masses are saying. Apparently,
widely beloved.
Nice. That's good to hear. That's good to hear.
You can rest easy tonight, Phil, knowing that you are on the right side of history.
Absolutely. I think the popcorn bucket did a lot of the heavy lifting.
Honestly.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, my God. Okay, speaking of instant horror classic, Deadpool and Wolverine, have you seen their popcorn buckets?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I think James posted on the thread, when. But that's the thing, though, because, like, right now, we're talking about 2024 movies. The movie theater industry is taking a huge hit. I think it's taking a bigger hit than it did in 2020 because, like, even though we are getting big blockbuster films like Dune 2, it's just not enough to keep making people go into theaters. And so it's like, I think I praise moments when certain movies get their popcorn bucket moments.
Right.
Because I'm just like, or when movies get their Barbenheimer moments, because I was like, if this is what gets people to the movie theaters, this is, like, cool because I fucking need the movie theaters to survive. You know? And it's like, so,
I will say, I think that there is, like, and you're not on social media, so I don't know if you're necessarily seeing the same stuff or hearing about the same stuff, but I will say, especially in, like, horror circles, I think that there's been a lot of excitement and a lot of hype over going to the movies again, especially because there are so many cool new movies and more importantly, new original movies that are coming out that are exciting to people and are interesting to people. Mm-hmm. That also being said, like horror fans were kind of like they've held down movie theater industry.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're just, you know, special like that, I guess.
They need to just get rid of the idea of dropping a movie so close to the release date on a streaming service.
I agree, because Immaculate's already available to stream.
No way.
Yeah, Immaculate.
See what I'm talking about?
You can buy it or rent it already. Oh, yeah, they surprise dropped it this week because it's not coming out on Blu-ray until June, I think. Mm-hmm. But it is available to stream now.
I think on this conversation, actually, you guys bring up some really good points about horror kind of propping up the film industry, really when it needs it every time, right? It's always in the clutch. Mm-hmm. It's also doing really good with mid-budget movies.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get mid-budget movies that actually make money or, like, you know, have any kind of traction anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of, like, comedy's gone when it comes to that kind of stuff, all that. But horror, I think right now it's at that budget point where they want it to look good enough to present on a big screen, mm-hmm. but also, like, they're still pretty cheap, you know? They're sure, gonna get the asses and seats.
Horror is always has been and probably always will be one of the cheapest genres to create for.
Yeah, we're getting some good mid-budget stuff, too, so.
Yeah, for sure. But speaking of action, did you guys see they're making another Bad Boys?
Yeah.
I saw the trailer when I went to go see Monkey Man, and I was just like, this is... a lot.
that's franchise desperately needs my boy Michael Bay back on the director's chair.
Yeah.
It looks like it. Yeah. I can't judge this fourth one. I saw the trailer and I'm just like, okay, this looks as forgettable as the third one.
Oof. And they already used the four and the third one's title. What are they gonna do now? What are they gonna do now, Phil?
Bad Boys for Life, dude.
They did for life.
I know, but this time you got to throw in the number four in there.
Too fast, too furious.
Yeah,
Bad Boys for Life for real this time.
For real
this time. For real.
Yeah. What else we got?
Boy Kills World, which I kind of just threw in there because it looks bloody. It looks very action-y, and it looks like...
It looks like a silly fun time.
Yes. It looks like a wonderful popcorn flick, mm-hmm. for sure. So we got Boy Kills World coming out. I saw the TV Glow, which is sort of like it's an indie. I've been seeing some trailers for it. It just looks very like 80s and vibey. Here, hold on, I saw.
It's 80s as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It is. A classmate introduces teenage Owen to a mysterious late-night TV show, a vision of a supernatural world beneath their own. In the pale glow of the television, Owen's view of reality begins to crack. So it's basically, yeah. It sounds very interesting.
I just don't... All right, I can't say that I don't like an actor, but this actor I can see I don't like.
Is it Maya Hawke?
No. It's
oh, the guy, Justice Smith?
Justice Smith. Dude, that guy...
He has a punchable face to me.
He does. Of course. It's not just that, too, but it's just like his...
Oh, you just don't like his acting?
He's playing the same fucking person in every movie he's in.
What else has he been in? Because
He was in Detective Pikachu. He was in Lost World. He was in the Jurassic... Yeah. He's been in the recent Jurassic World movies.
He just has that panicky, mopey face, you know? Yeah.
He is the same person. I don't even consider it acting anymore. I'm just convinced that's just him. And I'm like, all right.
It's the dude. Ryan Reynolds disease. I get it.
Yeah. But at least Ryan Reynolds had... you know, his moments.
I mean, he's proven that he can act. He's just choosing not to. I need to rewatch Detective Pikachu, I think, because the only thing I've seen that I know him
which also
in,
has Ryan Reynolds.
But Dungeons and Dragons is the last thing that I saw that I've seen him in that I like am able to visually be like, guy was in that. I am interested to see the not acting thing, but I did like him in that, but also I haven't seen him in anything else, so it could just be his personality. Something
Phil could just be a hater. Phil could just be a hater.
I'm like a Justice Smith hater, I guess, yes.
Known Justice Smith hater. I will say something that's coming out this summer that I'm super excited for is A Quiet Place Day One.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer looks very interesting. It's starring Lupita Nyong'o and Joseph Quinn. Mm. Joseph Quinn was from the most recent season of Stranger Things.
Jimon Hounsou. He's in there, too. He's in the trailer. I saw him in the trailer.
For what?
Jimon Hounsou.
I don't think I know.
He's in A Quiet Place Day One.
Oh.
He's in Gladiator. He's a really well-known actor. If you look up his name, if you just look up at A Quiet Place Day One, he's in the trailer. let's look here. Djimon Hounsou, Hounsou, I believe. Wow, I can't believe this. I just spelled that correct. He's in Gladiator at the end.
Oh, I know who. Yes, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I know who that is.
Joseph Quinn? Oh, I didn't even know he was in this. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah.
Dude from Stranger Things.
I just said that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know who you were talking about.
Phil all day in under 30.
God damn it.
I didn't know who you were talking about. I was like, oh, the one dude, the Metallica dude.
Yes,
okay,
the metal guy from fucking Stranger Things. Yeah, oh, that, that everyone is like weirdly horny.
My niece
over.
Loves that guy. She's gonna freak the fuck out.
He's gonna be in a Marvel movie. He's gonna be in the Fantastic Four.
Yes,
no?
He is going to be
Johnny Storm.
Johnny Storm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
All
right. We'll see. I don't. We'll fucking see. I don't. I'm not gonna say shit about that. Moving on. The Crow, which by the way has been pushed back from a June 7th release to an August 23rd release, undoubtedly has something to do with just like The Crow getting absolutely blown to smithereens on the internet after the promotional images and the trailer came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know a studio's confident in a film when they push it to August release, right?
Yeah.
That is in by no means the summer dumping grounds. No, no, that's
We're not quickly approaching the dumping grounds before the Oscars. Like it's
it's typically August and February when you're like, "Oh, did they really put there?" Mm-hmm. Although February's been coming back around, though, so I don't know.
February's had some good stuff recently. Yeah. Yeah, February's a little bit better. Obviously, they're just like, it's award season. Who gives a shit? Put it out.
August is still kind of like the danger zone, though. And
yeah.
Honestly, with this fucking Jared Leto Joker goddamn Crow, I'm not with it. Nope.
The eye nipple is really what got me.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I share the same sentiment. I'm probably not gonna see this. I think I'm good. I'm all right.
Yeah, it sucks because like I remember when this first got announced, and it was just like, oh my gosh, like Bill Skarsgård's gonna be, he's gonna be Eric. And we were all so excited about it, and I remember us talking about it, and now we're here, and I'm like, oh god, just take it back. I'd rather not have it at all.
I'm a big fan of the original. It's probably one of my favorite comic book movies, like, ever. It's up there with, like, it's probably, like, in my top 10 favorite comic book movies, for sure. Mm-hmm. I never wanted a remake to begin with. I remember when Jason Momoa was attached to this. I remember when so many directors were attached to this, and I've had the same attitude. We're like, no, I'm cool. I'm all right. I don't want it. But you know, who am I? You know, I'm just one voice. And then I remember Bill Skarsgård. I'm like, cool. Still don't want this movie. It's all right. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, do your remake. It's cool. And then I saw the trailer and I saw the images and I see the trailer again and I'm like, oh god, okay, I definitely don't want this. So I have no intention of seeing this when it comes out. It just that trailer did absolutely nothing to me. It looks like a CW.
CW's The Crow.
It looks pretty bad. Like I hate to trash a movie before I see it.
Right.
I really do.
I know you do. That's why I'm surprised.
And I'm not trying to be brutal about it. I'm just saying right now that I'm not gonna see. I have no interest in seeing this.
What if they do like what they did with the Sonic movie when they revealed that first character design?
Oh,
they just CG over the whole fucking thing.
Honestly,
it's like a new dude.
That's what I'm hoping because Sonic became better for it. Because Sonic movies weren't bad.
Yeah.
The character design was just ass.
No, but it's not even the characters. Like, yeah, that is. It looks ugly to me. Like, you know, the fucking. Oh my god, what's his name? Oh my god, not Mac Miller, the dude with the tattoos, the rapper, singer, white dude.
Honestly, there's so many people.
Oh my god.
Like Machine Gun Kelly?
Oh my god. A little bit of Machine Gun Kelly mixed
Peep?
With Little Peep, and who else? Oh my god.
Are you thinking about Post Malone?
Post Malone, I was like, the version of all, and then Jared Leto Joker all rolled into one. Yeah, it looks ugly. I'm not a fan of it, but the movie itself doesn't even look cool to me either. Like, it, not everything needs to be John Wickified. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And this is just like, hey, John Wick movies, those are cool, right? Let's put the Crow in there. And, you know, it just doesn't look cool at all. It looks super lazy.
And
I'm just like, I'm just not for it. If you're gonna remake The Crow, I mean, I don't know. I think that first movie was also a lightning in the bottle because those sequels were kind of whack too.
Every single one of them.
Yeah, and I remember there was a Crow TV series that was terrible.
There was a TV series? I knew about the sequels. But...
Yeah, there was a TV series.
You wanna talk fucking CW right there, dude.
I know, that's CW for sure. So I'm just like, you know, I just think that first movie was just lightning in the bottle. It was aesthetically beautiful. One of the greatest soundtracks in movie history. Like, it's just like, I don't know. that's why I'm just like, I'm cool. Like, I'm always going to have that movie. I don't really need a remake. And then, yeah, I see the trailer. I'm like, oh, I'm definitely not going to see this. I have no interest.
I respect that.
But I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I think we're all with you. And then also, last but certainly not least, Beetlejuice 2. Stylized as Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
I really want to like it. I really hope I like it.
Cautiously optimistic. I hope I like it.
Very cautiously optimistic.
Because here's the thing.
I'm rooting for it.
Yeah.
But
what has Tim Burton put out recently that you've liked?
I liked Wednesday. Everybody fucking hates Wednesday. I thought it wasn't that bad. Okay. So, you know? But
no, it wasn't like, it wasn't a rhetorical question. I was actually genuinely curious if like he had put out anything recently that you guys
fucked with. He did Dumbo also.
For me, it was Big Fish, but it was not recently. That was
Big Fish was 2001, I think.
Yeah,
well, you'd have to think a little sooner, huh?
My family loved Dark Shadows. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Big Fish was 2003.
Yeah, it's 2003.
Sweeney Todd, I think, was probably
That Sweeney Todd was all right. I didn't even like Corpse Bride that much, to be honest.
And then how can we forget Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which come out in 2005 when I was a child, so I did watch it and I did enjoy it. So take that with a grain of salt.
I was so pissed at that movie.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
I hated it.
I remember walking out of the movie theater all pissed off. I was like, why the fuck did they do this? That's
so fucking funny.
Honestly, I was mad at Tim Burton. I'm like, wait, hold on, buddy. You were doing fucking Gold. And then this...
I was disappointed. I was like, we're like in what, high school? Like junior? I was like a junior, I think, in high school. And I do remember like going with my friend Karina to go see this because we were both excited. Like, this movie's going to be fucking awesome. Hell yeah. And we're like, oh, God, what the hell is that? I don't know.
Like, what the fuck is this piece of shit?
Did you guys know Alice in Wonderland won not one, but two Grammys, Jesus Christ, Academy Awards?
For what?
I don't know. I'm just looking at a chart that's on the Wikipedia. But yeah, it was nominated for three...
Costume design, maybe?
I mean, it had to have been, right? Like, hold on. I'm sure it says on the actual Wikipedia.
I mean, whatever. Made also. But I remember that being a huge hit.
I remember seeing it in theaters.
I remember... Okay. I remember Dark Shadows flopping and me following that, never watching the movie, and then my family loves that fucking movie.
Oh, you were right. Phil, it was nominated for art direction, costume design, and visual effects, and it won for costume design and visual effects.
Nice.
Yeah,
but back to Beetlejuice, again, just like The Crow, I have no interest in seeing this, and the fact that they're bringing back, Michael Keaton is probably not just one of my favorite actors, he's one of my favorite human beings, if that makes any sense, somebody I've never met.
Yeah.
Kind of like how I look at Christopher Walken, I kind of look at the Keats like this, you know? And
the Keats?
I think I'm the only person that calls him that, dude.
I think he punched you in the face and heard that one.
Yeah, I know. But that's how much I love this fucking guy, because every role he's been in, like, I'm going to watch his movie... that he just directed. It came out this year with him and Al Pacino. I'm really interested in seeing that. Only because it looks terrible, but I'm gonna see it because it's starring and directed by.
Wow. Support your boy. So it looks terrible, and you're gonna watch it, but you're not gonna see Beetlejuice.
I have no interest in Beetlejuice, because this is like one of those many sequels that we've seen time and time and again that nobody asked for. I mean, I know that Facebook and people's aunts have been reposting fan posters for years now.
Yeah,
and but I'm just one of those people that are just like, no, dude, leave the original alone. We're good.
You know what might change your mind, Phil? You know who else is cast in Beetlejuice?
Oh, God. I already know who you're going with. Who? Let's hear
Monica Bellucci.
I thought you were going to say Jenna Ortega as in like a sarcastic way because you know how I feel about
No, Jenna Monica Ortega. Bellucci is cast.
She is in it. That's right. That's my ex-wife, you know, and I'm going to support my ex-wife any day. So I might go see it.
I'm gonna watch Keaton.
Hello, everyone.
Of course, dude. Of course,
that's my ex-wife right there. We want
to
write it.
But like, it's great to see the OG cast for anything come back. And you know what, guys? The only thing I know that was pretty funny, but. In recent times, the only thing that's really pulling off like an OG cast and OG producers or showrunners to come back is X-Men 97. Are you guys watching that?
I am not. It is I doing don't fantastic. Tell me anything. I've heard it's it, I everyone's heard liking good it. Things. I saw
it is
I saw doing deeply great. Bisexual looking Gambit. I'm sold. I just I'm very yeah. interested in watching it.
It is fantastic. That's how you do a return, and that's how you do, you know, the classic case of bringing back an OG cast. But like
bringing it right back to the beginning, classic yes. horror television show, I know, X-Men 97. Right? Right?
Can I talk about the classic horror television show Fallout? Because I'm only gonna say that shit is good. All the episodes are out. Fucking watch it, nice. Even if you're not a fan.
Awesome. I, it's on my list. I've heard nothing but glowing reviews. Mm-hmm.
It's
so.
Jonathan Nolan. It's a fucking Nolan did it. All right.
I know absolutely nothing about Fallout, but your appraisal is really winning me over here.
Sean. Well, I'm was waiting for Fwen to watch it before I decided to watch it because you're the biggest Fallout dork I know.
Yeah, that's right, baby. Going as Vault Boy for the fucking Ren Fair.
So, if you liked it...
I don't even know what a Vault Boy is.
Oh, you're going to find out, Phil. You're going to find out.
He's showing up in a jockstrap. I'm kidding.
That's a Raider, but yes.
But yeah, so I was waiting for your opinion because I trust your opinion when it comes to Fallout-related media. Oh, so, I'm excited to check it out.
Yes, good stuff, but... Yeah, recommended. Also, I guess Civil War, if you're feeling it.
Yeah.
And that's all I've really seen. I mean,
as always, if you're curious about something, go watch it for yourself. Don't take our word for it. As Phil said in the beginning, you know, it's important to see things to make your own kind of opinion on it. So
yeah,
hey, there you go.
And the only opinion that matters is yours.
The power is yours.
unless you're going Captain there, Planet there. Unless you're changing your opinion 180 just to go support, you know, an ex spouse. You know, like I just did right a little while
your
ago.
Tone is like, I remember grabbing my family's couch.
I was just about to say that. See, that's the kind of things I just don't really know. How are you going to think I'm going to go mess up somebody's couch? I kind of have more sense than that. Yeah, I remember messing that man's couch. Yeah. That's exactly what it reminded me of. Good call. Will Chappelle's
show. We're on the same fucking braid here.
Yeah, we are. I have a bigger, you know, sandworm, but anyways.
Interesting. Anyway, moving right along, let's go ahead and call it here, guys. I am muting every 3 seconds so I can cough up a lung. So, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This was our little What Are You Watching filler episode. Next week, as previously mentioned, we're going to talk about the clusterfuck that was the premiere of a David Gordon Green Halloween flick.
You can call him David Dork. I know you're
going to say. I was just going to say. I was like, dude, call him David Dork and Green. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. David Dork. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you like what you heard, please make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening. And if you can, please, please, please leave us a review. It does help other people find the podcast, and it helps us out like a shit ton. So you guys are awesome for doing it. Thank you. Also, if you want to stay up to date on all of our podcast shenanigans, we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Instagram at Herulean Hustler. You can find me on Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. And you can find Phil, notably off the socials, on YouTube at Phil Acevedo. He's putting out really cool shorts and stuff in the meantime. See, this is what happens when you go off social media. Your creative brain just explodes. It's crazy.
Exactly. Thank you.
So that's it for us. Until next week, support your local ex-wife.
Yes, yes. Listen Al Gaib! Listen Al Gaib! Listen Al Gaib!
May thy knife chip and shatter.
Oh my God.
Bye!